Imagine 25 FBI agents break into your office and steal all your documents. They savagely beat a junior lawyer when he says that their warrant isn't valid. Then, they spend millions of dollars bribing judges and officials. The FBI then uses the documents they stole from you to transfer ownership of your company to them. Then, they hire a real lawyer to show up to your court hearing and plead guilty on your behalf. The FBI continues with this scam, while still pretending to be you. They request a $230 million tax refund from the IRS. This would be the largest tax refund in history, and the IRS approves it the next day. This actually happened, except it wasn't the FBI and IRS. It was the FSB and FTS, corrupt Russian officials working for corrupt agencies. This is the unbelievable true story of Bill Browder, the American investor who took on the oligarchs and became Putin's number one enemy. Hi, I'm Drew. I loved Bill Browder's book, Red Notice, so much that I read it 3 times and decided more people had to hear this crazy story. This is my first video ever, so subscribe if you want me to make more video book summaries. Browder started off by working as a consultant in Eastern Europe, practically unheard of in 1989 because of the Iron Curtain. While reading a newspaper, he found a company being privatized by the Polish government for $80 million. The unusual aspect of the sale was that this company's yearly profit was $160 million. So if he bought the company, it would only take him 6 months to make his money back. Browder went all in, with his entire life savings of $2,000, and months later celebrated his first 10-bagger, a 10x investment. After months of searching for another opportunity, Browder got a tip that the Murmansk trawling fleet planned to sell 51% of their ships for $2.5 million. Browder ran the numbers to estimate this Russian fishing fleet was actually worth $1 billion. Based on a $2.5 million investment, you own ships worth $500 million. Extraordinarily low valuations weren't unique to the Murmansk trawling fleet. After the fall of communism, Russia was like the Wild West. Inefficiency, corruption, and incompetence went wild. The entire Russian market was being valued at a 95% discount. After the Soviet Union's downfall, the new Russian government was transitioning the economy from being mostly public to mostly private. The problem was, they set the prices for the companies they were selling to the private sector absurdly low, to the point of valuing the whole Russian economy almost equivalent to Hades. Imagine being able to buy Russia for the cost of a Haiti. Now working for Salomon Brothers, Browder tried for months to find anyone who would listen. Everyone thought he was crazy. When one Salomon big shot finally allocated him $25 million, Browder bet it all on these privatizations. Within only 6 months, he'd 5x their money to $125 million. In 1996, after years of being shafted by management, Browder left and raised $25 million for his own fund, Hermitage Capital. With only months before the next election, Boris Yeltsin, the incumbent Russian president, held a 6% approval rating. The country was in shambles. Yeltsin had allowed the oligarchs to rob 40% of all the assets in Russia. That's one of those stats you really need to think about. Imagine if 40% of America's assets were stolen in just a few years. The communist candidate dominated the polls. Since communists tend to nationalize private companies, this election could be disastrous for investors. When Boris Yeltsin began rising in the polls, Browder took a calculated risk and invested the entire $25 million on the market. To actually place the trades, Browder had to get his financial information by driving to the company's offices to ask them. They often refused to cooperate. No public database of stocks existed. The only way to know basic stats on profit, revenue, etc. was from inside sources. Yeltsin won the election. Now, it was open season to find deals. When Browder got a tip for a deal on an oil company called Tadanko, almost no one even knew that they existed. No one knew how much oil they had. It was because of Browder's persistent digging that he stumbled across numbers to find out that they were valuing their oil reserves at 15 cents per barrel, 99% less than the market rate. Browder invested $11 million, his biggest bet ever. A year later, the investment was now worth 6 times more. He made over $50 million. The win didn't last long. Russia's richest oligarch, Vladimir Putanin, owned Tadanko and was trying to screw Browder out of his stake and steal his shares. This is what the oligarchs did. If they could take advantage of you, they would. Fighting back against an oligarch simply wasn't an option for most people. Countless stories existed of investors going to the press or suing when they had felt they had been unfairly treated, and then ended up with a bullet in the brain a week later. Losing your investors' money just wasn't worth dying for. But Browder chose to fight back. His business partner backed him up with 15 ex-Mossad Israeli security guards, with 4 armored cars and heavy arms everywhere he went. The plan to stop Buchanan would take three phases. Phase 1, contact Buchanan's famous Western business relationships, like George Soros, to pressure him to back off. This infuriated Buchanan, but he didn't back down. Phase 2, go to the press and expose what happened. Nobody had been stupid enough yet to go on the record about oligarch corruption. The stories made front page news everywhere. Phase 3, contact the director of Russia's SEC. Entirely unexpected, he sided with Browder and blocked Buchanan from going through with the heist. The entire country of Russia was astonished that some American guy managed to triumph against someone thought to be untouchable. Hermitage was now one of the top global hedge funds, growing to $1 billion in just 2 years, up 718%. But Browder's investors begged him to take some money out of the market, fearing these foreign markets' risky nature. Browder ignored their concerns, assuming his fortune would continue. He turned out to be dead wrong. In 1998, global instability spiked the interest rates of Russian government bonds to near 120%. Within months, Hermitage lost 50% of its value. Then, IMF talks calmed the fears of a Russian default, and the market began to recover. But then unexpectedly, the government announced they were no longer supporting the Russian ruble, and the price collapsed 90% in a day. Hermitage lost $900 million, over 90% of the fund, in the blink of an eye. One of the biggest fund implosions in history. Now, at this point, nearly every other fund manager would throw in the towel, but not Browder. He carried on by investigating the Russian oil and gas giant, Gazprom. Despite Gazprom having 8 times the oil reserves of ExxonMobil, its market value was only $12 billion, a 99.7% discount. In other words, the market believed that corrupt insider executives had stolen 99% of the assets. Browder found out that Gazprom executives sold subsidiaries of the company to friends and family for next to nothing. The brother of the CEO, his son, and even the head of the internal audit department's wife bought these subsidiaries. Even the auditor, whose job was to investigate the theft, was cashing out himself. For example, one Gazprom subsidiary worth $530 million had sold 50% of the company for a 99.5% discount off the market price. Imagine the entire country of Kuwait's oil reserves being stolen in just a few years. It was one of the largest thefts of all time. But when Browder continued investigating, he found out that Gazprom actually only stole 9%, not 99.7% of the company, with over 90% of the oil reserves still intact. Browder immediately invested 20% of his entire fund into Gazprom. He also sent his months of investigative research to the 6 largest international media companies. The news sent shockwaves around the globe. Then, in an unprecedented move, Putin fired the CEO of Gazprom. Browder had successfully taken down his second corrupt billionaire oligarch. By 2005, Hermitage had 100x their investment in Gazprom. His fund made hundreds of millions of dollars. Next up, Browder went after UES, the National Electricity Company, and Sberbank, the National Savings Bank. He found corruption and packaged the stories into presentations that the media, investors, and governments worldwide could understand. Putin wanted to consolidate power as a new president. Browder's media campaigns gave Putin the perfect excuse to crush his enemies and show the oligarchs who was boss. The oligarchs speculated that nobody would be insane enough to take on Russia's most ruthless men without political protection. They mistakenly concluded that Browder was Putin's guy and that Putin was protecting him. So the oligarchs stood clear, not wanting to antagonize the most powerful man in their country. Eventually, Putin began making backroom deals with the oligarchs. Putin no longer had a need for Browder. Browder was useful when he was attacking Putin's political enemies, but now they were Putin's business partners. One day, Browder was making his usual weekly flight to Moscow, and the border police detained him and confiscated his passport. This had never happened before. 15 hours went by. Something was seriously wrong. He thinks this is it. They'll haul me into the back of a van somewhere, and I'll never see my wife and unborn child again. 2 burly Russian cops walked in and seized Browder by both arms. They dragged Browder through the middle of the terminal and heave him onto the last flight to London without uttering a word. Putin had decided that the game had gone on long enough and permanently banned Browder from Russia. After trying to figure out what happened, Browder got a tip from an FSB agent, or the Russian FBI, that the FSB planned to steal Hermitage assets. The first step was to get everything they had out of Russia. It took months, but they managed to pull out billions of dollars worth of investments. Browder had dozens of Hermitage employees evacuated for fear of being kidnapped and interrogated by the FSB. And now that Browder didn't have a visa, employees, or any investments in Russia, investors withdrew 50% of their assets within 6 months. Hermitage became a shadow of its former self. It's over, right? That's the end of the story? Browder thought so. And then the FSB raided Hermitage's offices and used documents they stole to commit tax fraud worth $230 million. Browder and his team of lawyers desperately fought to get justice for this $230 million pilfering of the Russian taxpayer. However, it became increasingly clear that if they continued on this path, the lawyers would be kidnapped, tortured, or murdered. The older lawyers fled the country because they lived during the Soviet era. They knew what powerful people in Russia could do and feared retribution. One lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, remained steadfast. He believed he could make a difference and decided to fight for justice. He testified against the FSB and was punished by being arrested and thrown in a frigid Moscow jail cell. The cell had 14 other inmates with only 8 beds. Sergei almost froze to death. The interrogators demanded Sergei take back his confession. Whenever he refused, they made his life increasingly miserable. Sergei became terribly sick, could not stop throwing up. He lost 40 pounds and ended up with gallstones, one of the most excruciating illnesses. When Sergei asked for medical treatment, the authorities denied his requests for months. After being in prison for a year, Sergei's body couldn't hold on any longer, and the guards finally rushed him to the emergency room. But instead, they took him to another cell. While trying to extract one last confession from Sergei, they brutally beat him to death. Sergei stood tall to the end. Browder was devastated. He immediately had his lawyers object, but the Russian government agencies managed to find no wrongdoing anywhere in Sergei's case. The cover-up came all the way from the top. There was no way to get justice in Russia, so Browder hoped to freeze their American bank accounts and deny them visa access. The US State Department was a dead end. The Obama administration policy was to repair relations, increase trade, and extend nuclear disarmament. Browder convinced Senator Cardin to send a letter to the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. He asked to freeze the accounts and revoke the visas of 60 different Russians involved with Sergei's abuses. The State Department ignored it. Senator Cardin said, "Fine, we'll do it our way," and introduced a bill into the Senate called the Magnitsky Act. The bill was going nowhere without bipartisan support in the Senate. So, Browder persuaded John McCain, a POW who was also tortured, to co-sponsor the bill, and it began to gain momentum. Meanwhile, Browder had a whistleblower approach him and give him Swiss bank account details of the tax fraud. A mid-level Russian tax employee, who earns $38,000 per year, got a $42 million cut of the $230 million plunder. The tax employee's mother bought a $20 million compound while being 85 years old and on a pension. The corrupt police officers involved bragged on social media about their private jet trips, fancy cars, visits to exclusive clubs, and hanging out with models. Months later, the Russian whistleblower who exposed the crimes just dropped dead one day outside his house in London. He wasn't safe 1,500 miles away. While this was happening, the bill in Congress needed to go through its respective committee. The Obama administration was dead set against it. The only way to get the bill through was to get the senators to threaten to block a different bill. Then finally, the White House conceded. The original bill was only for criminals related to Sergei's case. But when more human rights activists got involved, it expanded to all human rights abusers in Russia. The bill passed in the Senate and House with staggering majorities. The aftershocks of the Magnitsky Act were far-flung. Countries all over Europe passed their own versions of the act. Finally, Sergei and other victims worldwide would see justice. This historic moment shocked the perpetrators, who weren't used to facing consequences for their actions. Infuriated at the Magnitsky Act, Putin retaliated by prohibiting Americans from adopting Russian orphans with disabilities, like HIV, Down syndrome, and spina bifida. Predictably, the world was outraged. Putin using orphans as political pawns spurred some of the biggest protests in Russia since the fall of communism. Tens of thousands of mothers and grandmothers marched on Moscow. Putin couldn't ignore this one and capitulated by committing to invest millions in the state orphanage department. But Putin's thirst for vengeance didn't end there. He placed arrest warrants and Interpol red notices out for Browder. An Interpol red notice meant that when Browder attempted to cross an international border, the country would have to detain him and extradite him to Russia. Putin has sent out 7 different Interpol red notices since 2012 for Browder. Yet, in an unprecedented move, Interpol has refused to act on all 7 of them. And Putin is still doing it. In 2018, Browder was briefly detained in Spain. 10 years ago, Bill Browder built the case for the Magnitsky Act by launching YouTube videos. Global foreign policy was shaped by YouTube videos. Never underestimate the power of public shaming to hold the powerful accountable. Hit the like button to help spread Sergei's story. Also, I worked on this video full-time for a month, so please subscribe if you'd like me to make more videos like this.